this opportunity to give my talk about quantum interpretation. My talk originally extending standard quantum interpretation by quantum set theory. I slightly changed my title because it's very difficult to explain the whole the technicality about quantum set theory. And so I changed my title, extending standard quantum interpretation without quantum set theory. But the basic idea is from quantum set theory. Because if we restrict the quantum systems with only the finite dimensional state space, we don't need to prove technicality of quantum set theory to develop this idea. So in this talk, I restrict our attention to only the finite dimensional case, and we explain all the technicality without quantum set theory. Here, I say quantum interpretation is establishing the concept of the value of an observable. The problem about the value of an observable is that we don't have hidden variables. And so our method is that establishing quantum logical reality instead of hidden variable, or instead of classical logical reality. So we develop quantum logic in order to establishing some kind of reality of quantum physical quantity, especially the notion of the value of an observable. And the problem of quantum logic as a propositional logic is that quantum logic is unable to treat variables because this is only the propositional logic. So we need to develop more complicated logic, a kind of predicate logic, including variables corresponding to observables and values of observables. But the individual predicate calculus about such kind of variable is always incomplete. More promising ways developing set theory based on quantum logic. Because, for example, the real number is usually in mathematics defined in Dedekind cut of rational numbers. This is done only in the set theory. If you develop the particular model of real numbers, you need set theory. If you develop the first order theory of real numbers, they have many non-standard models. So if you want to speak of this real number, you need a particular set theory. In the same way, if you consider this our observable of quantum system, we need to consider a fixed quantum set theory and constructing real numbers in this set theory. And so our method based on set theory, based on quantum logic. And the result from quantum set theory is as follows. In quantum set theory, observables is just the real numbers constructed in quantum set theory. And all the observational proposition about the quantum system, it's included in the propositions on real numbers in well-formed formulas formulated in quantum set theory. And then extending we can extend observational propositions by a proposition on real numbers in quantum set theory because we have from the beginning a total system, the well-formed formula about this quantum set theory, and this formula includes observational propositions for a given system. And from by this we can make introducing state independent simultaneous determinism. This concept is the kind of the simultaneous measurability of observer, but it's slightly different from the measurability and determinateness. And we can also introduce state-dependent equality between observables. Usually, you have the state-independent equality, just like just defined by the equality between operators. But we can talk about state-dependent equality, and so we need to extend quantum interpretation. In order to do that, we introduce state-dependent equality between observers. And we can also introduce a definition of state-dependent values of observables. We can also make a definition of a state-dependent notion of disturbance. And also we make a definition of a state-dependent notion of simultaneous measurability of values of observables. All of this can be done very generally, means that can be done for any system of any quantum systems with infinite dimensional case using the full quantum set theory. But today, we confine these notions and methods to a finite dimensional case. And so we can develop more some technicalities in this talk. And also, we apply this technicality to explanation of EPR products. We explain EPR products as follows. First, we show that a successive measurement without disturbance can be considered to be a simultaneous measurement because one observable is left undisturbed, then measurement, first measurement after this measurement is considered to be the simultaneous measurement. And such kind of measurement can be done using entanglement or by correlations in a state. Simultaneous measurement of non-commuting observer is possible. So we can make use of the correlation in the state. We can make successive measurement without disturbing one observer, and this gives you the simultaneous measurement of two non-commuting observers. Thus, two simultaneously non-determinate observers means that two non-commuting observers can be simultaneously measured in this EPR situation. So our conclusion is that simultaneous determinateness, and that is non-commutativity and the simultaneous measurability are different notions. So non-commutative observer can be measured simultaneously because one observer can be measured without disturbing the other observer. Simultaneous measurability does not lead to simultaneous determinateness nor existence of hidden variables. This is our conclusion about EPR products. But in order to develop this argument, we need to use the simultaneous measurability state-dependent way, because this kind of thing happens only in particular entangled state. But usually, the simultaneous measurability is defined to be non-commutativity of operators, but the non-commutativity of operator is formulated state independent way because non-commutativity is algebraic relation, and the algebraic relation is a relation over the whole Hilbert space. It's not state dependent notion. So we need to develop the state dependent notion of simultaneous measurability or on the commutativity of observables in particular state. And this talk is based on those references. my paper published in 2006 entitled Quantum Perfect Correlation. And also formal part of this talk is given by transfer principle in quantum set theory, published in Journal of Symbolic Logic. And some ideas has been published in a conference paper, simultaneous measurability of non-commuting observers and the universal uncertainty principle, published in proceeding 8th International Conference on Quantum Communication Measurement and Computing, edited by Professor Hirota and Sasaki Shapiro. Okay. And then we start with the notion of quantum equality. We consider the notion of the two observer has the same value in some particular state. So the if this kind this notion originally state independent equality is that just the equality of the operator. Operators are same. In the whole Hilbert space, that this gives you the always the same values in any state. But if you consider the when two of the observable has a same value in a particular state, our problem is that when two observables A and B are equal in the state psi, or when two observables A and B have the same value in a state psi. We write this condition as in this notation. And this notion, we will give the precise definition of this notion later, but we first explain some difficulty about this this notion. And also we talk about the significance of this notion. Significance of this notion, we have one application. And the condition that the value of an observable A does not change from time T1 to T2. If the system is originally in the state psi, it can be expressed by Heisenberg operator AT1 and the Heisenberg operator AT2 are equal in original state psi. So in this way, the process without disturbing the value is formalized. So the in short, the value of A does not change from time T1 to T2. If and only if these two observers has a same value in this original state. This is one application of this quantum inequality to formalize change of the value in time or disturbance of observable in time.
Right. In the sense that if
yes, we can show later. And the second application is that we can use this notion to define the notion of measurement of an observable. The problem is that when a measurement of an observable A in a state psi is considered to be correct, or give the correct value of A. The answer can be given by a two operators observe this and this has the same value in this state. That means that we suppose there is a measuring process of this operator A with apparatus initially prepared in C and time evolution during the measurement of composite system of the system and the apparatus is described by U, and also of the apparatus has a particular meter observed. In this case, the measurement of A is described by interaction described by U, and after the interaction of U, we measure M. So in this measurement, you want to, we want to measure a time tensor identity or just a. Instead, we actually measure Heisenberg operator of M after the measure. And so we should require a value of A before measurement is equal to the value of meta after the measurement in the original state. So in this way, we can formalize the notion of measurement in state dependently. But we have some difficulty in treating with the quantum equality. The easy case is as follows. According to the standard interpretation, observer A has the same value with the constant observer alpha times identity in a state psi, if and only if, A has a value alpha in state psi, if and only if psi is the eigen state of A corresponding to the eigenvalue alpha. If this is not a constant operator, there is some difficulty. The problem is that, is it true A and B are equal in state psi if and only if A minus B are equal to zero in state psi? If this is true, we can define this condition by this way. A minus A psi is equal to B psi in this case. But the answer is no. There is a counter example. Let A of T1 and A of T2 be such that A of T1 is represented by this matrix and A of T2 represented by this matrix. These two matrix are unitary equivalent and they have the same first column. And we consider the time evolution unitary operator U this. Then by this time evolution unitary operator in the Heisenberg picture, this operator changes to this operator. And we consider the particular original state of this. So we have A of T1 applied to psi is equal to A of T2 applied to psi. But that is this minus this is equal to zero in state psi. This is index one. So this condition holds for these operators and the state. And also the first and the second moments of A are unchanged. So the first moment is given by this, is equal to 1. The second moment is also given in this way, is equal to 2. However, we have the third moment is 4, but 4 for time t1, but 3 at time t2. Obviously, from time t1 to time t2, the value of A is changed. Thus, the third moment is changed so that this relation does not hold. If the values are same, every moment should be the same. So we cannot define this relation by this way. So the second difficulty is as follows. Problem. Does the relation the derivative of Heisenberg operator is always zero in this state, or a derivative of Heisenberg operator has a state psi is eigenstate of the zero eigenvalue for all time t from 0 to 1. Problem is, does this ensure that A0 and A1 have the same value in state psi? Answer is no. Example that AT is Q. This is a position operator, and plus TP, P is momentum operator. And this is the Heisenberg operator of the free evolution of free mass. And the initial state should be, if initial state is eigenstate, the momentum equals to zero. So Q and P are the position and the momentum operators of a one-dimensional unit mass. So this satisfies, this case satisfies this equation. However, value of A0 and value of A1 is equal to equal in state psi and does not hold. Since A0 is equal to Q, A1 is equal to Q plus P. And these two operator has no joint probability in any state. If these two operator has, these two observer has the same value, they should have joint probability. And in this joint probability gives you the always these two possible value has completely correlate. But in this case, these two operator has no joint probability in any state, so they cannot be at the same value. Also, we have the third difficulty. It's based on the following opinion. And there is a prevailing opinion that the quantum mechanics only speaks of probability distribution. So that measurement of an observer A in a state psi is correct if and only if the measurement reproduces the correct probability distribution. Or this operator to be measured and meta observer after the interaction has the same probability distribution in original state. So is this equivalence correct or not? However, this relation A and B has the same value if and only if A and B have the same probability distribution does not hold. This is more simpler. In order to consider this condition, we consider the second case. In this case, the A and B are commuting. In this case, we can completely define this condition in using the classical term. A and B has the same value in state psi if and only if the joint probability distribution of A and B in psi, joint probability always exists in the commuting case. This joint probability concentrates on the diagonal set. Means that joint probability positive, joint probability is concentrated on the subset in which the A pair of values of A and B is always equal. So the problem, does the condition that A and B should have the same probability distribution in the state psi ensures the relation? This answer is no, because we can give the counter example even A and B are commuting. Suppose psi is the product state for some duplicated states for some psi, and A is B tensor I and B. This is A is C tensor I and B is I tensor C for some C. In this case, A and B have the same probability distribution and the commuting, but they are statistically independent in the case where psi is not an eigenstate of B. If the psi is eigenstate of B, in that case, they have the same value. But if psi is not, phi is not eigenstate of B, in this case, A and B are statistically independent in this state. So, but A and B are commuting. If they have the same value, they have the joint probability distribution, and this joint probability distribution concentrate on the diagonals. So it cannot be independent, statistically independent. They are, say, statistically perfectly correlated. So this condition cannot characterize the quantum equality. So in order to introduce this quantum equality in much more logical and consistent way, without ad hoc conditioning. So we start with the quantum axioms, and we consider the logical structure of this quantum axioms, and then we introduce the equality relation in a much more natural way, and then apply this equality relation for some of these problems we announced before. The axiom of the, we consider quantum axioms for finite dimensional systems. Axiom one is the representation of the observer and the state. Finite dimensional quantum system S has a finite dimensional Hilbert space as a state space. And the observer of this system is represented by self-adjoint operators on H, and the state of S represented by density operators on H. Axiom two, time evolution. this every system has a Hamiltonian, and a state at the time t satisfies this relation if S is isolated in this time interval. And so usually we assume the following axioms, very fundamental axioms, called statistical form. The probability distribution of mutually commuting observer A1 to AN in state rho is given by this formula. Trace of the product of the spectral projection corresponding to eigenvalues of A1 to AN of large A1 to large AN. Yes, this is very common formula. And the problem with this axiom is that what is the meaning of the values of observable? this axiom only speak of the joint probability of mutually commuting observable. So it's very difficult to understand what is the notion value of observable that's distributed according to this formula. In the following, we set the postulates for values of observables and reconstruct the standard formulation and an interpretation of the values of observables. So in order to do that, we reconstruct the statistical formula from more logical postulate. So we start with considering quantum observational proposition. But to clarify the logical principle behind the statistical formula, we define observational proposition. Axiom 3.1, definition of atomic observational proposition. For any observable A, this is S. For any observable A of system S and any real number alpha, we have an atomic observational proposition A equal to small a. Any atomic observational proposition is an observational proposition. Axiom C2, introduction of logical symbol. If phi is an observational proposition, then so is this is negation of phi. If phi 1 and phi 2 are observational propositions, then so are phi 1 conjunction phi 2 and phi 1 disjunction phi 2. And axiom 3.2.3, definition of observational proposition. every observational proposition is constructed from atomic ones by only finite time introduction of logical symbols. So we understand what is atomic observation proposition. Atomic one is this. Simply A is A has value A. And we construct a complex proposition, just putting negation or putting and or putting or. And only proportions constructed in this way are considered to be observational proposition.
You haven't yet defined and or yet. Have you?
What?
And or.
Yes.
They will be defined by some axioms?
No.
Some further axioms?
We just talk about just the syntactical part. The meaning is we give later.
Yes, but will and or be satisfy the axioms of some kind of lattice?
Yes, yes. Yes, later
something.
Yeah.
Later.
We just introduce symbols.
And then what is the meaning of finite time introduction of logical symbols?
That is the, we apply only finite times.
Finite number of operations.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the every proportion has only a finite length, and the symbols are contain only finite numbers. Yeah.
The meaning is that observational proportion A is equal to small a means that the value of the observational observable large A is equal to the real number alpha. And this symbol means the negation, conjunction, and disjunction, respectively. But we will give precise meaning later. So, in order to give the meaning of these propositions, we define state dependent truth of observational proposition. And by the following rules, we introduce the relation psi forces phi, meaning that the observational proposition, I'm sorry, this is phi. Observational proposition phi is true in the vector state psi. Okay. This is, this should be phi. We determine the meaning of A is equal to small a by this axiom 4.1. means that this statement, A is equal to small a, is true in vector state psi if and only psi is eigenvector of A corresponding to eigenvalue small a. This is the meaning of this atomic proposition. And also the meaning of the negation determined by this second axiom. Negation of phi is true if and only if psi prime, phi is true psi prime for any
Would that be for any?
The then is here, right?
For any psi prime.
Yeah.
Such that psi prime is orthogonal to psi.
Yeah.
Such that, not then.
Yeah.
Such. On the desk.
Okay.
There's chalk.
Can imply that psi induced is not phi if psi prime induced phi itself implies that psi prime is a polyon to psi.
For any psi prime. Ah.
sorry. If
if a phi holds in psi prime, then this psi orthogonal to psi prime for any psi prime. Right. So the psi is orthogonal to any psi prime which satisfy phi. Okay.
Does that also mean there exists such a psi prime, or
that's for psi prime? It's for all psi prime, if, well, that implication.
But if there's no psi prime, then the implication is to
for any psi prime, if psi prime satisfy phi, then phi orthogonal to psi prime.
The difficulty of reconstructing this axiom maybe gives an indication that it is not self-evident.
It's self-evident. Just a moment. This is, in some sense, self-evident
if you consider the superposition principle.
But, okay, I choose skip. Sorry. Psi satisfies phi 1 and phi 2. If I'm going to be psi satisfy phi 1 and psi satisfy phi 2. And axiom 4, phi 1 or phi 2 holds in state psi.
If I'm going to be there are two states, psi 1 and psi 2, such that after normalization, phi 1 holds in psi 1 and phi 2 holds psi 2. And psi is superposition of psi 1 and psi 2. So psi 1 or psi 2 holds in state phi 1 or phi 2, proportion phi 1 or phi 2 holds in psi if and only psi is superposition of two states, each of psi 1 and psi 2. And psi 1 satisfied phi 1, and psi 2 satisfied phi 2.
You were serious. They are assumed to be elements of a vector space.
Oh, yeah.
So we have elements of the vector space and we have logical operations.
Yeah.
And these axioms are about combining
the
two.
Yeah.
I don't think this can be correct. If we take two distinct values for the same operator. So I have an operator that has several eigenvalues, say 1 and 0 and other values.
Yeah.
And I want the statement that operator has to tell you 0 or 1.
Yeah, this, if
Yeah.
Now, consider a state in which that operator has the value zero. Wouldn't we want to imply that therefore it also has the value zero or one? But on your condition,
yeah,
the statement the operator has the value zero or one can only be true if there are non-zero factors in both of the corresponding eigenstates. So that the state cannot lie in the eigenspace of eigenvalue zero. Mm.
If it was a freely arranged Lennius position, yeah, so psi is some complex number times psi 1 plus some complex number times psi 2, that wouldn't be a problem.
But the complex numbers could be zero.
Yeah.
But what about an eigenstate of A is zero?
What?
If psi happens to be an eigenstate
zero.
Of zero.
Yeah.
Then the condition on the right hand side is false.
What?
He's essentially asking if phi 1 holds in psi, don't you also want phi 1 or phi 2 to hold in psi?
Phi 1.
But the problem would be solved if you add coefficients before psi 1 and psi 2.
Yeah,
so
this is correct. And this is equivalent with if you normalize. This is psi 1 satisfy A to 1. And this normalized vector is considered to the state so the this is the sorry one normalized state vector is a linear combination of these two normalized state vectors. And these two normalized state vectors are satisfied this concern, this concern. And now we consider the quantum logic. Means that the set of closed subspaces of Hilbert space is partially ordered, set with inclusion, and complemented like this with orthogonal complementation. We have the partially ordered structure with inclusion, and further we consider the orthogonal complementation. This structure is complemented lattice. And this lattice operation is defined or satisfies this relation. And the infimum of the two spaces M1 and M2 is intersect. The supremum of two subspaces M1 and M2 are
sum of these two states. In the infinite dimensional case, you need closure, but now we consider only finite dimensional case. An operator P is called a projection if operator is self-adjoint and idempotent. The projection operators and the closed subspace are in one-to-one correspondence. So we call we consider the lattice of projection instead of lattice of subspaces. And we call the lattice of projection as a quantum logic and denote it by Q of H. H is underlying Hilbert space. And we denote the projection with range M by this P of M. Then we define truth value and the probability of observational proposition. The truth value of an observational proposition phi is defined by this. And this is just the subspace of totality subspace consisting of the all the states in which this observational proposition holds. And plus zero vector. Then this becomes always a subspace. And we represent this subspace by the projection onto this subspace. And so we define the truth value of this observational proposition to be the projection onto this space. Otherwise, truth value of the state proportion phi is a projection onto the subspace generated by all the states in which this proportion holds. Then truth values of observational proportions phi is satisfied the following condition. We are talking about a more simpler case. The first condition should be rewrite. A is small a. The truth value of the atomic statement A is small a is spectral projection corresponding to eigenvalue small a. And then the truth value of the negation is orthogonal complement of the truth value of original statement. And the truth value of phi 1 and phi 2 is the intersection of two subspaces or a conjunction of this or an infimum of these two truth values. And this is And this corresponds to here. And so the logical operation corresponds to lattice operation in this way. In some sense, the previous definition wants to realize this relation. Then we construct the statistical formula a more general way. The statistical formula, the probability of an observational proportion phi being true in a state rho is given by this trace of the projection applied to density operator rho. Definition, we say that observational proportion phi is true in state rho if and only if this probability is 1. Then we obtain the following relation. The proportion that A1 is equal to A2 and AN is equal to AN is equal to trace of the, this is the intersection or infimum of this projection applied, multiplied by a rho and taking trace. And this trace is equal to probability of this proportion. So if from this general definition. And then if these operators are commuting, we have the this infimum of commuting projection is just the product of this projection, so we reconstruct the original statistic formula in this way. And so this general formula has this form for the this kind of proposition, and if the operators are commuting, we reconstruct the original statistical formula. So in this way, the statistical formula can be reconstructed by more logical method. We give some example. Spin one half particle has this spin operator, and then for any value a b plus minus one, these two sigma g is equal to a and sigma x equal to b. this formula has always truth value zero. And so for any state row, we have the probability of this statement is always zero. So the, we get the count example of distributed row. and this is always one. Sigma x is equal to one or sigma x is equal to minus one, because any state has decomposed into the, this eigenstate and this eigenstate. And so we have this formula. Sigma g equal, equal to one and this or this has the truth value of this operator, non-zero operator. On the other hand, sigma g equal one and sigma x is one, or sigma g equal one and sigma x is minus one, has this truth value is equal to zero. Also, if the distributive law holds, this distribute this and this and this always equal. But in this case, truth value of this and truth value of this are not equal. So the distributive law does not hold. And that means the values of observer has some kind of contextuality. The range of the values of observables depends on the context as to what observables are considered simultaneously. For example, the range of sigma z is minus one plus one. The range of sigma x is also minus one and plus one. And then the range of sigma z and the identity operator is minus one, one, or plus one, one. However, the range of sigma z and the sigma x is empty. In this way, the range of values of observer depends on the context. In general, if A and B are commuting, the range of pair of A and B is a direct product of the spectrum of A and B. However, if A and B are non-commuting, non-commutative, it is not the case. If the range of pair of A and B is empty, then they can be considered as complementary or totally non-commutative. Now we introduce simultaneous determinateness of observer. This notion is a kind of state-dependent commutativity notion. The definition is as follows. The symbol parenthesis A1 comma dot 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 an cross parenthesis, meaning the n-tuple quantum ordered pair of observables A1 to an. It's introduced by this formula. This n-tuple is equal to number pair of numbers A1 to an. is equivalent, A1 is small A1, and dot, 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 and AN is equal to small AN. Now, we give the following definition. For any observables, A1 to AN, we define the observational proportions, this A1 to AN commuting. Meaning that A1 to AN are simultaneously determinated by the following. This formula is defined to be the formula constructed in this way. Means that a1 dot dot an is equal to small a1 to small an. This is rewrite in this way. And use where the a1 to an is chosen from the spectrum a1 to spectrum an. And so the, we have the, all the choice of this selection. And then we make this junction of these terms for every combination of this choice. So this, in this way, the simultaneously determinativeness is defined as a quantum mechanical proposition. So if this proposition is true in the state law, we say that the observables A1 to AN are simultaneously determined in state law. For example, you for spin operators, sigma x, sigma z, it's equal to sigma x is 1 and the this formula for the spin two different spin operator is this junction of all of these combination. Then we have already known this statement has always truth value zero. All the terms truth value zero. This junction of these four is also truth value zero. So the, in this case, the truth value of the simultaneous determinativeness of spin operator sigma x and sigma z is truth value zero. So they always, in any state, they are not commutative. So we know that observables A1 to AN are simultaneously determined in a vector state psi if and only if the vector state psi is a superposition of simultaneous eigenvectors of A1 to AN. Because this holds in some state psi, then all of these conditions should satisfy in this state. And one of this condition should satisfy in the state for a superposition of the states of this condition. One of these conditions satisfied. In that case, if and each condition satisfied, that state means that the simultaneous eigenvalue, eigenstate of this minus one and minus one, or a simultaneous eigenstate of minus one and plus. So if there are some state it satisfy this condition, that state is superposition of the states, four states. One state satisfy this, second state satisfy this, third state satisfy this, the fourth state satisfy this. So the totality of the state is the superposition of the four simultaneous eigenstates of these two operators. So that always happens. observables A1 to AN are simultaneously determined in a vector state psi if and only the state psi is a superposition of simultaneous eigenvectors of A1 to AN. Now we consider classical joint probability distribution of the values of observables. NLA function P is called a classical joint probability distribution of observables A1 to AN in a state row. It's a function satisfying the following three conditions. Positivity and totality is one. And each value is equal to the probability of the all of the A1 to AN has values small A1 to AN. Then we have the following theorem. There exists the classical joint probability distribution of observables A1 to AN in a state if and only A1 to AN are simultaneously determined in state row. So the existence of the classical joint probability distribution is equivalent to the simultaneous determinated. In this case, for any polynomial f of A1 to AN of observables A1 to AN, we have the expectation value of this observables in this joint probability is given by quantum mechanical formula of this trace and operator. A usual formula in quantum mechanical expectation. In this case, in some way, in some sense, a kind of these various behaviors are hidden variables for in this given particular context. So that this gives you the, a kind of contextual hidden variable determine the expectations of polynomials of A1 to AN. And now we give the equality of the values of observables. We define the equality relation as follows. For any observables A and B, we define the observational proportion A is equal to B, meaning that the value of A and the value of B are equal. It's defined to be in this way. So A and B is equal to small a and small a. And this junction over all small a in the spectrum of A. So if A equal B holds in state row, we say that the value of A and the value of B are equal in state row. And now we have the following theorem. This relation, A is equal to B in state row, is an equivalence relation between A and B. In particular, transitive relation holds, means that A equal B and B equal C, then A equal C holds in state row. And also we have this relation. The truth value of, this is, something wrong.
Can you summarize?
Okay, yeah. Right, sorry.
Okay. Fast summary, perhaps.
Yeah, okay. Now we introduced the equality relation in this way. Yeah. We reached the definition of the equality, then, and you have shown that this equality relation is the equivalence relation between observables. And now we consider the applications.
announced before. And in order to apply to definition of the measurement of this our equality relation, we consider the measuring process. And the measuring process consists of the consists of KXUM. K is a Hilbert space of a apparatus. C is the initial state of the product. And U describes the measuring interaction. And M describes the meta of the. And then P of M and CP map and the instrument are defined by these formulas. And then we define the measurement of the body of an observer defined in this way. We say that a measuring process, this is a measurement of the body of an observer ray in a state row. If the body of the meter after the measurement and the body of the observer ray in the state are equal, means that the observer to be measured and the meter after the measurement has the same value in the initial state. So we can precisely define this measurement condition, the notion we have already established logical, biological way. And the characterization of this measurement is in this way. And the ordinary definition reconstructed as in the following way. A measuring process is a measurement of an observer A in any state, if and only if, and the P of M of the measurement is equal to a spectral projection. And this is a state-independent case. But the state-dependent case, the characterization of this P of M is this formula. So the this P of M measures observable A in state row is characterized by this condition. And also we defined disturbance in the similar way. So the measurement does not disturb the observer B in case observer B and B after the interaction has the same value in the initial state of the measure. And this is characterized by CP map in this formula. So the CP map measurement does not disturb observer B in a state row if and only if the operation or a CP map of measurement satisfies this condition. And we also the we also defined not only the single measurement but also defined the simultaneous measurement. We say that one measuring process with n number of polynomials is a simultaneous measurement of values of observers A1 to AN in a state row, if and only if the applying to function to the meta, we give the, this function of the meta. And then observable to be measured and meta after the measurement applied to this polynomial, each polynomial FJ, this should be FJ, has the same value in the, this state, then we say that this measurement is a simultaneous measurement. And the simultaneous measurement is characterized by P of M by this formula. And we can show that if the successive measurement does not disturb some we define first the what's the meaning that the successive measurement is a simultaneous measurement of some observer is that if we successively measure for n times using the n different measuring apparatus in succession. then we have the n output, and each output corresponds to precise measurement of the observable a1 to an. In that case, this successive measurement is called a simultaneous measurement of this observable. And in this sense, in the sequence of measuring processes, this measurement does not disturb the values of observables, the observables to be measured later. Then does not disturb the values of observables to be measured later. Then the successive measurement carried out by this sequence is a simultaneous measurement. So this is a general statement that if the measurement does not disturb some observable, then successive measurement of this measurement and the other observable afterward is considered to be the simultaneous measurement of the first observable and second observable. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And now we enter the EPR measurement. We in this case we consider the two observables, sigma z tensor identity and sigma x tensor identity. These two observables are completely non-commuting, but this observable can be simultaneously measurable in this particular state. So how is that we can measure sigma x in this pair, and also there are we measure the sigma x for this particle, and using this entanglement we infer the measurement value of the sigma x of this, and then this measurement of this observable does not disturb the any operator of this particle, because actually measuring apparatus applied to only this part. And so this is a non-disturbing measurement. So and then after this measurement, we actually measure this part sigma z. So this is a successive measurement which does not disturb the sigma x of this part. So that this constitutes the simultaneous measurement. So we arrived at possibility of the simultaneous measurement of non-commuting observable. And in the last slide, we characterize the difference between the simultaneous determinateness and the simultaneous measurability can be characterized this slightly different conditions using a cyclic subspace generated by A and B, and this is generated by A and B both operators. So, okay, we showed everything.
Do we have questions for the speaker?
Just this may be unanswerable in any reasonable amount of time, but what does contextuality look like? Treating measurements from observables in this framework. The contextuality of measurements on a, say, a three-dimensional Hilbert space or a four-dimensional Hilbert space?
Contextuality?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, in your framework for observables and the values of observables and what have you, can you frame the observation that quantum measurements are contextual in this framework?
So by contextual, you mean a violation of the Cushing-Specker kind of construction?
No.
So that the values of observables depend, presumably, in your framework on which other observables are simultaneously measured with them.
Okay. We introduced the
this is notation, right? Okay. We define this proportion. There are any observers, we define the this observation proportion, meaning that these n of observers are simultaneously determined. This is just the this means that state stack forces or satisfied this statement. If I'm not in, there is a context job.
So this is a contextual hidden variable theory.
Explain variance
in the end. Oh. The quantum state is the hidden variable.
A1, 2, and here, 4,
so the key is a reading of this that what you are introducing is a contextual hidden variable theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where the quantum state
yeah.
is the hidden variable.
Yes, this statement guaranteed by this theory. There exists a classical joint probability distribution of observable A1 to AN in a state psi, if and only a state row, if and only this statement holds in this state. So, such a kind of contextuality is represented by only one formula. And so the this logical formula characterizes when these operators has a contextual hidden variable in this given state. So in this condition can be characterized by this logical formula.
You don't follow the Birkhoff-von Neumann framework in this. What is the advantage of this over
the
older quantum logical approach?
Okay, we have the common. We have the common definition of this truth value of the proportion. So the in the level of the proportional logic, the von Neumann Birkhoff the formulation is just the same as our formulation. But they don't have any notion of variables, variable observables. Mm-hmm. And so the they cannot express in such a statement. And actually, in this kind of statement cannot be expressed generally in this way, because we assume the finite dimensional state space. In the finite dimensional state space, this formula can be represented in this finite construction. But in infinite dimensional Hilbert space, we can define the same statement, meaning the same. But the construction of the statement uses the predicate logic, means that thinking up over infinitely many statements and supremum over infinitely many statements. So you need quantum set theory, including predicate calculus. So the, they could not do, and we cannot do in general, but we can do in finite dimension case without using quantum set theory. So the Babov and the von Neumann, if they want to do, they could do in the finite dimension case. But they always don't care about the finite dimension case, so they couldn't do. But I can do using quantum set theory. And I did it in that paper published in Journal of Symbolic Logic.
Any final questions? Okay, then let's thank Professor Zhao.